Scores of books are on the market written by false cults on the second coming of Christ. Many of them declare that he has already come. When he returns, the Bible tells us, every eye shall see him. You haven't seen him, neither have I. The entire world will know about Christ, for he will return to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Apostle Peter reminds us that one of the recognizable characteristics of the last days will be the appearance of scoffers who will seek to refute the claims of God's holy word. Were the scoffers outside the church, that wouldn't be so bad. But you find them in pulpits, professing to be men of God. In the light of this, Peter reminded us in verse 2 that we are to be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets. The severest attack the scoffers made on Christian truth was discovered in their derision of the doctrine of the second coming of Christ. In Peter's day, the scoffers argued, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." Well, the scoffers haven't changed much. Many in contemporary pulpits seek to explain away this basic truth of the Word of God. Many, many more say nothing about it. The great majority of their regular listeners on Sunday morning are totally ignorant of even the scriptural statements regarding the return of Christ. I had a lady tell me one time that she had never heard one sermon on the second coming of Jesus Christ. What a tragedy that people are being left in the dark relative to this important fact of Scripture. If the truth of the return of Christ was barely mentioned in the Bible, one could understand why some pastors might neglect to emphasize its importance. By far, the greatest number of prophecies concerning Christ in the Old Testament tell of his second coming. Of the 46 Old Testament prophets, less than 10 speak of the first coming of Christ, while 36 speak of his second coming. In the New Testament, there are over 300 verses emphasizing Christ's return. One out of every 25 verses refers directly to the Lord's second coming. The only subject mentioned in the New Testament more than the second coming is that of faith. Now, what are some of the reasons why the scoffers reject the truth of the return of Christ? Well, first, the liberal theologian despises it because it would prove him to be a liar. All his rationalistic theories would be exposed as falsehood. Having claimed that the Word of God merely contains the Word of God, he would be faced immediately with the fact that the Bible is the inspired Word of God, inerrant and unfailing. Christ's return will prove that all that the Bible says about Jesus concerning his virgin birth, his sinless character, his divine power, and his bodily resurrection from the dead actually transpired as recorded in the Bible. Secondly, the second coming is associated by some people with the radical cults of our day. These scoffers are usually nominal Christians. They know little about the Bible because they don't read it. They are untaught and untrained regarding God's truth. Thus, by ignorance, they deny one of the most important themes of scriptural truth. Third, the intellectual scoffer is fearful that he may be classified as an ignoramus if he were to stoop to such a fantastic thing as belief in the return of Christ. This scoffer likes to appear intelligent and scholarly and fears being looked upon with disrepute. Fourth, there is another scoffer who teaches that the kingdom of God will be brought in by the efforts of humans. He feels that the church will convert the world. So he says the world is getting better and better all the time. This scoffer has buried his head in the sand. He expects that soon this world will reach the golden age. He doesn't understand that we are approaching 7 years of extreme tribulation As we approach this time, morals will be at their lowest, character will be at its worst, and respect for others will be unknown. Fifth, the most common scoffer of all is the person who lives for himself, following his own pattern and plan for life. He has his idols and is not concerned about the plan of God. He has no time to search the scriptures. He lives in the light of his own selfish exploits. Six, of course, the chief scoffer of all is the devil himself. He seeks to repudiate the claims of God. He blinds the minds of those that would believe. He tempts people to choose man's theories in opposition to God's revealed truth. Satan hates the thought of the return of Christ, for he knows it will mean doom for him. Where is the promise of his coming? The scoffers ask. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Thousands of years have gone by, but Christ has not returned. Is this not proof enough that the return of Christ is ridiculous? This argument seems plausible, doesn't it? But regardless of what people says, God says, I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. Haggai 2, verse 7. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one. Zechariah 14, verse 9. And he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Micah 4, verse 3. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. To every born-again believer, God declares, be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Christ will return. The word of God assures us that it is so. Where is the promise of his coming? God's word is the promise. Believe it, receive it, watch for the King of Kings to return. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. We are not told when Christ will return. This is not our business. We are not on the time committee. We are on the preparations committee. We are to watch and wait, keeping busy for God, anticipating Christ's glorious return. Let us not be concerned about the time. Rather, let us be concerned that we know him, having submitted to his lordship, so that we are ready to meet him when he comes. What a day of rejoicing and glory that will be for the child of God, who has communed with his Lord and walked with him down through the years. In the hours of testing, the believer has voiced his petitions to God with the assurance that his wonderful Christ will not fail. But oh, the joy of knowing that someday, at the time of his glorious return, we shall see him as he is. Now, you may not know him other than the babe who was born in the manger. He is more than that. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I hope if you don't know him that right now you will bow your head and say, Jesus, I want to be yours when you return. I receive you as my Savior and Lord at this very moment. I am willing to turn from sin to follow you. You tell Jesus that and your life can be changed. I hope you will let him change you. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for the blessed hope we have of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We anticipate this marvelous experience of which we are assured in the Word of God. I pray that many may enter into this blessed hope as they trust Christ at this very moment. In the name of Jesus our Lord, amen.